This is Colorful Radio.
Our music,
our news, our views.
Five in the Eye with Michael and Phil. It's news, but is it new?
Well, our first story today is a very controversial one. And to be honest, Michael, you know, we even talked about whether we'd cover it because it's so sensitive in many ways. But it's the story of Rachel Dolezal, who was representing the NAACP, the big civil rights organization in the States at a local level. And she appears to have been masquerading as a black person in recent years and has also built up an academic career and so on. But is now revealed by her parents that she is in fact white. And this story, really, I mean, the fallout from it's been enormous, hasn't it?
Extraordinary. As Phil said, well, I angst over this, I did. Phil was all for doing it, but I was, I just felt uncomfortable because it touches so many nerves with me. But slept on it and we said, yeah, let's do it. First, I'd like to say up front, I think she's very troubled. Mm-hmm. Troubled indeed. And her parents, oh, can you imagine? Your daughter says, you're a white person. And the daughter says, my father's black. Oh, imagine what her son is thinking now. Well, I thought my mum was black. And now, what is she? So it's such a horrible story. And, you know, she's an overnight sensation, a celebrity. And all that America that does at creating celebrities. I've got this vision of her now. There's a book rights here. There's a movie. There's all kinds of things that's going to come from it. But at what cost to her and her family? They're going to be digging, you know, when the lens of the media comes upon you, it goes deep. You only have to look at our chucker last the other week, when he only had it for a couple of days, he had enough. But she's going to have it, her and her family, it's just going to be a nightmare. So I really don't want to focus on her because she's got her problems. She's obviously a troubled lady. But she does raise this issue of, can a white person become black?
I mean, to me, it seems like a crazy idea that people would say, you know, that they identify so much with another ethnic identity that one day they announce themselves to be that identity. I know that, you know, you can look at it at a genetic level, and we're an extraordinary genetic mix, aren't we?
Exactly.
Even in a country like the UK.
Can I tell you, one of my superpowers, whenever they ask me what my superpower is, I tell them I want DNA glasses. And I put my DNA glasses on and I can tell your DNA. Oh, a bit of sub-Saharan Africa.
That isn't my DNA, by the way. Michael hasn't really got his DNA glasses yet.
Not yet. There's a bit of Southern Europe in there. Oh, some American Indian. So you can actually break down people because we're all mixed. We're all a hybrid. Yeah. We're all bits of from all over the place. Some people think, you know, think, well, I'm pure. Well, what do you mean by pure? That's why I personally get very frustrated when people talk about mixed race. Because let me tell you, I believe, and my DNA glasses verify this, we're all mixed.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, my background is I've got a Jewish father, I've got an Irish mother, I've grown up in England. In London, and you know, how do I describe myself? Well, clearly I'm white, and it would be, you know, it would be very odd indeed if I walked into the studio and told you that I changed my mind and that I thought that I was black, and you'd probably be saying, Phil, it's time you got a check up from the neck up.
We'll be talking about that later. Check up from the neck up. You're right. It's because I personally, and this is what I angst over, could a white person become black? And let me say up front, I don't believe that's possible. Because black is an identity, and it's deeper than that. It's a way you've been brought up. Let me tell you, as I was brought up, and my mum instilled this in me, said, for the black kid to get on, he's got to be twice as good. So that meant you worked harder, you was first there, last to leave, the whitest shirt, sharpest suit, all those things, because you were driven to be the very best. And talking to other friends about that, sometimes some kids have been brought up to say they're at war. So they're ready for anything. So they're out there just hyper. So she has not had to live with this. She's had white privilege. Now, I'm not complaining. I'm not putting her down for this. But she has had white privilege. There's been an assumption that the culture that she studies, the benchmarks that she uses are all white. The history that she studies, it's white. So it's all, you know, the path has been made easy for her.
Yeah, I mean, do you think that there's a sense in which she is superficially attracted to the the culture and the community,
yeah, sure.
but doesn't actually understand the kind of living reality of it because she never grew up with it. That's what you're saying.
Exactly. Because to be black, it's all lifestyle you take on, and it's lots of subtle things. The way, you know, I'll use the R word here. The way the racism is made very real to you. You know, you're sitting on the bus, and the seat next to you is the last seat to be taken over. You're the last to be served because it just happens that way. But it's because we're different. We're seen as different, and we're seen as not equal. Now, I'm not playing the race card here. I'm just talking about the reality. Because as black people, you have to go that extra mile to prove your normality. There was a story I saw the other day, and some guys in America had to whistled songs from Frozen. Mm-hmm. Those of you who know Frozen, it doesn't bother me anyway. A great film, very great film. But they whistled Frozen in the belief that because they were whistling songs from Frozen, they were okay. They were normal. They weren't frightening, you know. And these guys weren't wearing hoodies and dressed all in black and looking angry. They were just normal guys going about their bother because they're aware that the stereotypes that white people have upon them, they have to overcome those. So she's never had to do any of that. She's drifted through life,
yes,
as a white person who's decided to become black.
I mean, I think it's very difficult to get to the bottom of what was going on here. But, you know, as you say, it's a troubled situation. The family relationships were kind of very troubled as well. And, you know, there's clearly now a lot of difficulties within the family. So who knows? Maybe we'll never get to the bottom of it. It does strike me, though, there may be an element of it, which is a little bit parallel to people who masquerade in other environments. You know, there are people who put on white coats and wander around hospitals and pretend that they're doctors and so on. And maybe they do it because it brings them a certain status, or it brings them, that they actually see some advantage to it. I mean, could she have made a conscious decision that this actually advantaged her in some way?
Wouldn't be an advantage, but she wanted to be part of it. Because there are some good things on about being black. There's the camaraderie. There's the part, you know, there's a kind of the us against them, so to speak. We're all friends together. There's that social activity. And it's a very positive feeling, you know, knowing your brothers and sisters.
Well, having a sense of community at all. Exactly. I mean, in a world where, to be honest, we're very atomized and a lot of community is broken down, and so any sense of identity very often people will cling on to, won't they?
That's a great word, atomized, because there is a black community that, you know, that is quite diverse. It's quite diverse, but they come together around the blackness unites them. But I tell you, one of the things that this brought to light, this story brought to light, reminded me of I was doing some mentoring work last week in a school, in a London school, and one of the icebreakers we use, we tell the kids to stand up and say something positive about yourself. And I should say, these are black kids, and we mentor them. You know, we try and make them be the best they can be. And this icebreaker is, we get them to stand up and say something positive about yourself. And these are, I don't know, 13 to 16-year-olds. And a lot of them struggle, hesitate. And eventually they'll come up with something like, well, I did my homework, or I arrived in school on time. Something positive. And we celebrate that. We clap. But there was one boy, he just couldn't get it. He mumbled. So I said, we'll come back to you. Give him some time. We came back to him. He stood up, still mumbling. And he said, and even as I say it now, I'm shocked. He says, I'm light-skinned. I am light-skinned. He saw that as positive about himself. Now, that speaks more about how his identity is taken from his color. And so you cannot just drift into a color. You can't just drift into being black. It's even more subtle than that. And the way society ingrains upon you that you're more like us, the lighter ones, so you're more attractive as a benchmark. And he saw that as a positive thing. Now, I'm sure, I'd love to, I'm not going to have the pleasure of speaking to this Rachel, but did she sense any difference? I don't know. And let me be honest, I don't care. The issue is, it's not a simple thing just putting a black face on and saying I'm black. There's a history, there's a cultural history that you have to take with you.
And this, of course, is why it's been such a huge issue with the state of racial politics in America, and the context of it is everything, isn't it? You know,
very, very much so. Because it's all the image. We live in a society where image is so important, what you look like. And so from those first few moments when they see you take on a whole raft of black issues and black identity issues. So no, she has no cognizance of what that means. Just finish on a simple point. Like, negative images are the norm for black people in the press. They always take the mm-hmm. worst image of any black person, particularly when they've done a crime. It's always the worst. And I only found out yesterday, I must look into this. I don't know if it's, I must check this. But there's a picture of Duggan, the boy who was shot in Tottenham. And that picture is the top half of him standing over his daughter's grave. Now, you can see how they've selectively cut it. And you see that time and time again. Mm. They always take the worst pictures. And you see yourself, I mean, by yourself, I mean, as a black person, in a negative light. You're always seen as the problem. And then when you balance on that, there's white privilege where the benchmarks are white. There's all that negativity. You can't just, by painting yourself black, take on those years, a lifetime of it. No, but just let me clear. I'm not playing the angry race card here. This is reality for black people today.
Well, I think it's been a huge issue, and it was important we talked about it. And our listeners will realise it's sensitive, it's difficult, but at Five in the Eye, we're not going to shy away from tackling things that are hard. We do cover lighter stories as well.
Live on digital radio, colourfulradio.com, and apps. This is Colourful Radio.